This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, we're back, and I have a fantastic artist as a guest today. I hope everybody's doing well out there, and I'm just going to say, as far as artists are concerned, we've been working the whole time. The creative juices are just flowing in different directions because we're forced to sort of be still. So tonight I have a great artist. Her name is Karen B. Allen. She's a great friend of this show. I interviewed her at least a year ago, probably more, and I've been following her career ever since. I'm going to have her tell you how she got involved in being such a great artist because I've seen an evolution in her work. Right now, she's exhibiting at the Croton Library in Croton-on-Hudson, New York, and here she is. Hello, Karen. Thank you for being the premier guest.
Thank you. It's an honor. Yes. Thank you very much, Toni.
Yeah. Now, we'll tell the audience, you told me you're fully vaxxed.
Yes, I am.
I'm half vaxxed.
I've gotten that done in February.
That's good, and I'm happy for you. And I'm half vaxxed, and we've been sitting here with masks on most of the time, and we feel very safe. But anyway, we know the drill, okay? Tell me about this exhibit. You're doing your work and you're sort of taking it and putting it inside of boxes. How did you evolve into that? And then we'll backtrack.
Okay. I did a piece, and this is the piece, in November of 2018. And it was for the Ossining Arts Council theme show of Day of the Dead. And my husband noticed that I complimented him on some of his finds from the cigar store when he would bring home a cigar box or two. And I'd look at them and I'd open them up and I'd sort of imagine what, they intrigued me, let's put it that way. So with that theme, Day of the Dead, I was thinking, how can I use one of these cigar boxes? It's a good excuse to play, right?
Yeah.
That's the best way to do artwork, actually, is approach it in a really playful way. You get the best results that way. So I did this piece about my grandmother, and I knew that this was something that really interested me, because with a box, when you put an image on one of the facets, it lives in time. So you can tell a story. And I like storytelling in my artwork. So this sort of expanded that whole storytelling ability. I was able to work abstractly, and I was able to work figuratively and put those two different ways of thinking together also in a really playful way, because I didn't know what the heck I was going to end up with. So I started to do it more. And then there was a call for residency at Bethany Arts Community.
Nice.
And I kept seeing an email about Bethany calling for this residency. And I had met one of the people that works on the board. Lindsay Miller is her name now. And she, Lindsay Francis was her name before she married. And then she was looking at my work. She came to my studio, looked at my work, and there was just a really nice feeling. I'm a little shy, you know, and I need encouragement. And I got some sort of encouragement from her, and then I saw the residency call, and then I said to myself, well, I'll give it a shot. The pandemic had just begun, and I applied in April of 2020, and I received the residency for October. And it was to be a virtual residency.
Nice.
So I did some filming of myself. It was based on the totem theme and another theme, which is really tiny canvases that I was exploring at the same time. So I started to do this for that residency, and I continued to do it because it's really a cool theme, and I haven't kind of run out of ideas yet.
Interesting that you started for Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. Uh-huh. I say Dia de los Muertos, uh-huh. And that's like kind of creepy cool.
Well, it was creepy cool. Mm-hmm. We were having our previous conversations about creepy cool.
Weren't we? Yes, we were. That's right.
Mm-hmm. But I resolved some things, actually, by doing the piece about my grandmother. And then I did one about my son. You know, family members, you have histories with them, and you have things that you want to express. And I express myself better, I think, through the visual arts than any other way. It tells me something, you know, and that's what leads me to do more, because it's like a therapy session almost.
It is a therapy session when you're in front of the canvas with the paintbrush.
Uh-huh. It yeah. tells you a lot about yourself, and then as you do it more and more, you're also balancing those aesthetic decisions.
Explain to the audience, because not everybody who listens, you know, does this kind of speak. They're like, what are they talking about?
Aesthetic decisions?
Your decisions. Talk about what that is, because a lot of people don't understand what that is. I do.
It's value, mm-hmm. design, mm-hmm. color, risk, mm-hmm. soul.
So you make those decisions.
And they have a hierarchy. So your design and your value are going to be first.
Okay.
That's the first thing anybody sees about a picture. They see the dark and the light.
Yes.
They see the patterns. They see a visual image. Mm-hmm. And we're drawn naturally to darks and lights. So we're going to see the darkest darks and the lightest lights from across the room. Maybe 60 feet away, mm-hmm. and you want to draw somebody in. You want to create a powerful mm-hmm. design that's going to draw them in, and then you can tell your story. And so you're seducing the viewer.
Right, exactly. And so when you decided to do this, and you have like a collection of these boxes, I looked at one in particular I like because you handed it to me, and I opened it and I looked and I saw that it was a self-portrait. Why are you putting yourself in the box?
The story of that is, let's see, this is it. It's because it's based on a real box, my diary box from childhood.
And a real person in here.
There's, you know, it's a collage. It's sort of a self-portrait with my pink hat. Mm-hmm. I have a pink hat that I've had for a really long time. It means something to me. Then I've got, a landscape that's sort of reminiscent for me of where I grew up and how I feel about the landscape. And I have like a musical note thing going on in there. If you got close enough, you'd be able to see it. And then on the outside, this is effects. You know, this is sort of a rendering of a tile box that I made when I was a child.
And there's some, what I see is some subliminal images just on the top of the box.
Really?
I'm calling them subliminal. Them saying that just a segue into when we first engaged in talking about your art on Talk with TQ. Mm. Now, you had painted a beautiful mural at the Peekskill, New York.
You mean the Jeanette J. Health Center. Right, right.
And in that particular painting, I remember looking at it, and there were a lot of things that just like kind of popped out on you. Here you have it on this little box, but you had it in a very huge wall. And I remember looking at it and thinking like, all these people are popping out. The face is just like, boom, in your face. The face is in your face.
Well, I saw more flowers and hills and, you know, things like that. So I think it's interesting that you saw the faces, but look at all your portraiture that you do. That's your soul calling to your soul.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting thing that you, I would love to have you point out where the faces are.
Yeah, I was talking to other people looking, we were all picking out faces.
Really?
Yeah.
And I am doing a lot of faces lately. I'm doing this like a 100-day challenge where I decided to do portraits on Post-its.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen them on
Instagram. I've heard about this particular
challenge.
Yeah, I have heard about it.
It's basically you can pick out anything you'd like mm-hmm. as an artist, something that you think you could handle doing 100 times in 100 days' time, and you go on a journey with it. So I decided that, I really do like faces, and I've been doing quite a few of them lately in other pieces, not just the totems. I've been working a lot on a lot of different things, themes and stuff. So
it seems that you've really kind of evolved. It was like almost, I feel like that mural that you did for the community was almost like a launching pad, because you
Definitely
were always
was.
Very quiet about your artistry. You didn't talk about it much. I mean, I knew you and you were like there. And
like, then all where this, did she come from?
All of a sudden you're doing, and you were actually officiating for other artists. As an artist in the community, and I can attest to the fact that other artists have said this, it's like you kind of embraced us in your way, and you're always very humble about it. And then all of a sudden, it turns out you're an artist. You're like better than everybody else.
Aw,
come on. But
nobody
knew.
That's a limiting belief right there.
Yeah.
Is the idea of talent is a limiting belief, really. So
I think in terms of process, not talent.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're genuine.
Thank you. I've learned a lot. And I'm really interested in how, if you have something in your heart's desire and your intentions are good, mm-hmm. you can actually write these things down in a journal or somewhere as your heartfelt desires, and it will be very interesting to see how they can come true.
You can manifest anything if you have the right intention. Mm-hmm. It's all about intention. You know, look what you've manifested.
An artist in the community just recently reached out to me and said, oh, I'm going to apply to the Bethany Arts Community residency for mm-hmm. the fall. And I was like, and she said, would you look over my draft? Because it's a lot of art writing, you know, and it's a lot of thinking about what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and how you want to have a community component. And it was quite rigorous. Mm-hmm. But I'm really happy that somebody's inspired, you know, and she helped me with the mural. Mm-hmm. So I know that doing the mural together with other people was really inspiring and really, that's cool, right? Mm-hmm. And then I got together with artist who's very famous, Nicholas Wilton, and I took his course. Mm-hmm. At the same time I was doing the mural, and he is all about community. And he's got a worldwide community of mm-hmm. artists called CVP.
What does that stand for?
Creative Visionary Program.
I think that community is important, and it's funny you said that. There's a spiritual component to it. There, I don't know if you remember Brian Delma Taylor. You know, he was an artist in town, a performing artist. He was a musician, songwriter. A lot of people didn't know that he was a very astute painter. I saw it as astute because he painted so much from his heart. Community. I remember walking to church one day, some years ago, and he was walking in another direction. I said, hey, Bri, where are you going? He goes, he's going over to the Salvation Army. And he was a flautist. He played the piano for all their services.
Nice.
And he said to me, and I never forgot, he said, you know how it is as an artist, you know, you really must give back. That's what we're here to do, is to give, but you have to give back to the community. That's what he did. And it's interesting that you're saying the same thing.
Yeah, and I mean, we all have different ways of giving back.
Yes, it's true.
What's really nice is when, you know, your artistic vision coincides with giving back, and you can combine both of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think that we did better art if we, you know, just hunkered down in our studios and just, you know, made something fabulous, and then it was maybe juried in somewhere and then exhibited somewhere. But really the juice is sharing our work with each other and getting to know each other and encouraging each other to do more of what makes us, you know, really whole human beings and encouraging that in younger people.
Mm-hmm. Someone pointed out recently that as art to me, a non-artist, okay, pointed out to me that as an artist that there's only like, he used this number, 1% of us can do, and the population can do what we do. That's what he said. I don't know what the percentage is.
I think everybody can do artwork.
But he said
I think everybody can.
He's talking about in terms of like the talent to do certain things.
Well, see, I would say that I've learned, mm-hmm. I would disagree. I would say that everybody has an artistic, creative side in them. It takes many years to go on the path. You know, some of us have devoted our major parts of our life to our craft and to our artistic vision, and it takes years and years to do that. But everybody, look at a 5-year-old, look at a 6-year-old. They're all artists, mm-hmm. every single one of them. And their personalities shine through in their creations.
It is very true. I've taught art. So it is very true. I've taught kids and adults.
It's just that we stop, you know? It stops for many people. They get off. Even a simple disparaging comment can sometimes throw somebody off who would love to have continued, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yeah, so I think that it's really good as an artist that it sounds like you have that mentoring kind of streak, and it's good. It's important to share it. But getting back to you, now, this exhibit is really quite outstanding. And when I saw it online first. And
it's only online right now. It's virtual.
Right.
Only.
I mean, I see it here now. But I saw it mm-hmm. online first. Mm-hmm. And it really struck me, you know, how powerful. What really struck me was how you've evolved from doing that mural to doing this. It's interesting that you seem to have almost changed as an artist, but changed as a person, the way you embrace it holistically. I think that's really important. Do you ever have aspirations to teach?
I have taught mm-hmm. in the past.
Okay.
I used to teach at the Yorktown Montessori School, and I designed the instructional program from preschoolers mm-hmm. to sixth graders. Mm-hmm. But my marriage was falling apart, and they offered me a full-time position, but the pay wasn't going to be enough for me mm-hmm. to keep my home, literally, mm-hmm. you know, because the split was bad. Mm-hmm. And I had two kids under the age of 14. Mm-hmm. And I decided to go back into the graphic design field. Mm-hmm. And our first interview, I worked with Edward Burke mm-hmm. at his graphic design studio. And I learned a lot there. And I worked
hard. He knows his
hard.
Stuff. He really knows his stuff.
He's one of the best designers anywhere. Anybody I've ever worked with. And before I was a teacher, I worked in advertising. Mm-hmm. So I worked in New York City, and I did that. Mm-hmm. But I did like teaching a lot. And but I just couldn't. I had to. It had to change. You always have to change, you know, you have to kind of go with the flow.
So you started as a graphic artist.
I have a degree in painting. Mm-hmm. So I went from painting mm-hmm. to graphic design in an advertising agency because I moved from Syracuse to mm-hmm. the New York area. Mm-hmm. And I had to find a job. And I did have people telling me if I had 30 paintings, they could give me an exhibit in New York City when I was in my 20s. But I had to pay the rent first. Mm-hmm. So I ended up working in the commercial art field mm-hmm. for a while. I didn't want that to be my life. I really like changing all the time.
But you wanted. It sounds like you evolved into from a fine artist to a graphic artist back to a fine artist.
Yeah, yeah, and it means a lot to me because now I'm in my 60s. Hey, if I don't paint those paintings now, it's not going to get done. You know,
I think art will make you immortal. Art will immortalize you.
Well, who knows?
Well, I do.
Who knows?
I believe there was a painter,
David Park, who took most of his paintings. He wanted it to change. Mm-hmm. He wanted his work to change. Mm-hmm. So he took all his paintings and he took it to the dump.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. He and his wife unloaded their car. They had stacked it with paintings, and they took it to the dump, and he started over. I mean, there's something about that story that just, like, wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That's cool.
You think it's cool to throw your work in the dump?
I think it's cool to start over and not to consider it precious. I think it's cool to have an idea of what you want to do and risk it. He risked a lot to do that. And he wiped the slate clean. And I mean, I'm not saying I would do it with my work. I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. If you ever have that thought, just give me a call. All right? Because no, please. I'll stop you. I'll put it away for you because you'll change your mind. When you look at things later, they look very different. I can tell you that.
Yeah, you can be in a bad mood, right?
You know, I can tell you firsthand, when you look at something, you're writing, whatever you do, it looks different.
Yeah, I guess he was having a bad
moment. Well, you know, that's okay. I hope that he didn't destroy it. I hope he left it where somebody...
No, he just put his foot through it. He just threw it, his daughter describes. Mm-hmm. A scene. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. Mm-hmm. It's called Nothing Held Back, and it's about David Park's work. So I just discovered him, and I'm like, I love his work. His work got better. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's kind of ruthless about it, about, you know, holding to the idea that he had. Mm-hmm. So I tried to push myself a little bit. You know, I can do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Let me do something that I really care about.
Do you feel satisfied at the place you're at right now?
No, I'm learning things all the time.
You seem like, even though you've evolved, you seem like you're just starting out again.
I'm just starting out again.
I can relate to that.
I'm just starting out again. Everything is new. That's mm-hmm. what's wonderful about mm-hmm. painting. It's like you're creating this whole story, this whole universe. You're not sure what it's going to look like. As you work with it, it kind of talks to you, and then you change it, and you... It can be a problem sometimes. I don't know when I'm done. And I think that's a lot of artists feel that way. When am I finished? I don't know.
Well, sometimes it doesn't. There are some paintings that go on forever and ever and ever. And I have a couple of those in here. And they're usually, it's work that you don't really do. And I just stay with it. You get in a mood, go back to it. You know, it'll always be there for you. So what do you aspire to next?
Well, I'm working on this little notebook, which is a community project, and I wanted to make sure I told you about it.
Shall I open it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's thick.
Yeah, and it's not done yet.
I'm going to let you open it because you know it better than me. I want to do
this.
This
is the Arc of the Viral Universe. It was started last year at the start of the pandemic.
How big is it?
And it's Carla Rae Johnson's... conception.
Okay, Carla Rae.
Carla Rae, okay. I don't
know. Highly respected.
Yes. And this is
I'd love to
some
interview her.
Spreads. Yes.
If she'll let me.
So
is that her self-portrait right there?
This is my granddaughter's.
That's your granddaughter's? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
What kind of world? I was just thinking at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, how it feels to be facing this uncertain future and the young people in your mm-hmm. life that are closest to you.
Yes.
And, you know, I was looking out my window. This is a sketchbook. It's still in progress.
It's like a journal.
Mm-hmm. I still had my studio in my house, but now it's moved to my an offset building on my property.
And you're doing a little writing as well.
Oh, yeah, the writing is really wonderful. I love writing and visual artwork.
Together.
Yeah. Linda Berry is one of my heroes.
It seems to be, I noticed a trend in art where they'll take like a portrait of a famous artist and put it behind it. The background will be like a newspaper story. I've been seeing a lot of that because I'm trolling the internet. So it seems to be something that speaks to people. So you seem to be have picked up the vibe, it looks like.
You mean the writing and the visual?
Well, it's something that's always nothing new, but I see a trend of people taking a portrait, let's say, of like the famous Frida Kahlo. Uh-huh. And they'll have her. I've seen some people doing some great work with that, but they'll put it with the background of like a newspaper article in the background, and she's in there. You have to take a look. It's a beautiful thing to see, and it takes the viewer's eye and keeps it on the page. It keeps it on that painting. That's what it did for me.
Well, this is, you know, just...
But yours is different. Yours is almost like a collage thing.
Oh, yeah.
And almost like a journalistic scrapbook.
Yes.
So do you feel that you've journaled your time during the first year of the first corona year?
I did, and then, you know, we got into this place. Mm-hmm. We got into this place where it was just so many people dying, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just so hard, and I was just trying to process it. It's just an interesting...
It's interesting, and you were able to put some beauty in the pain. You were able to extract beauty from it.
I think it just feels better than doing nothing.
Well, I'll say that I feel that it's extraordinary. You know, Karen, you have to come back. You do, because I'm not finished with you. I have more questions.
Really?
Yeah, I do. And I know that when you come back, there'll be more changes. And if you'll give me that opportunity to interview you again.
Well, anytime. It's nice to talk to you.
Because I feel like I've known you since a baby.
Wow.
I do. It's the strangest thing. You know?
Well, that means we're just connecting in a human way.
Yeah, which is nice. And I'm going to tell the audience that, you know, your exhibit is extraordinary. Totems, and where can they find it online?
Go to the Croton Library, crotonlibrary.org.
Crotonlibrary.org.
Right, and then it's under exhibits, current exhibits. It's Ottinger Room. They call it the Ottinger Room, and they actually have a room, and they might start doing live exhibits hopefully pretty soon, but they've been doing virtual ones, and they asked me to create it, and it was a lot of fun, actually. Not just doing the, you know, I photographed the work, and then I had to write about it. And I had to write about it in a very concise way and put my heart into it. So it was a lot like the journal, because you take a piece and you're like, how can I tell people in a very, very quick way to feel something besides see something? It's helpful to have the written word with the images, I think.
It is. And sometimes it depends. I could debate you on that. But anyway, I think that what you've done is you've been able to take words and put it together and not use the words as a cop-out for your art. You know, sometimes, like when I teach, I'll let the students do that. I'd say, don't use words, use images. You know, and they're getting good at it. But thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Thank you for breaking the spell of isolation, you know, and breaking the spell. You've broken the mold in a lot of things and with your art. I want to talk to you again because I want to talk to you about some of the work that you've shown me, and I want to talk to you about some of the things you've talked about in terms of sharing art and artists sharing it. And the fact that you've evolved. I see something you're not seeing because you're in it and I'm not. And so I see something different. When I look at this little one, it just brings out the real big one that you get. You started big and got small, and your bigger stuff is extraordinary. Your small stuff is just like, it's a less is more kind of thing, I'll say. But I want to talk to you more. I want to see more of your art. You've told the audience where to find you.
Thank you. I'm Karen Allen Artist. .com. I'm on Instagram, karen.allen.artist. I'm there.
It's Callen B.
No, Karen Allen. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep the B. I don't know.
I think you should.
You think so?
Because there's another Karen Allen and she's not you. But we're going to do this again. I can hardly wait.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on. I mean, I feel like I've known you since you're a baby. It's the strangest thing. I don't know why.
And I'm older than you are, I think.
Probably not. Probably not. You know? I know I have a little tricks. I'm not. Listen, we'll talk. I never apologize for being older. My mother died young, so I'm getting older. I'm going to say goodnight, goodbye to the audience. Thanks for coming to visit the Energy Stoners Cafe. And I'll be back here again next time, and I'll have another extraordinary guests. Visit KarenAllenArtist.com. You won't be sorry. You'll be happy. You'll be glad you did it. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.